نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. We have come across one hadith in Bukhari Sharif in Kitab al-Hajj. This is the final wasiyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was his advice that he had given on the 11th of Dhul-Hijjah, the day after Eid in Mina. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this advice. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says that this was the wasiyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his ummah, his final farewell advice. And on this safar of Hajj, he told the Sahaba also that learn everything from me now, because there's a possibility I won't be here next year. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that. And it was in his, and also it was in that safar in Mina, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to Yemen and he brought 100 camels to make qurbani. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, on the day of Mina, he made zaba of 63 camels with his own Mubarak hands. 63. So that was the indication that my age is going to be 63. And the balance 37 camels, that was slaughtered by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. The balance 37. And that was the final Hajj. And this, now Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, the hadith, why he brought the hadith, I'm not going to go into all the details, the ikhtilaf between the Hanafis and the Shafi'is. The Shafi'is, they are of the opinion that this was a khutbah on the day of Eid. Whereas the Hanafi says that there is no khutbah on the day of Eid. The khutbah was in Arafat. This was actually a nasihat, the following day after Eid. It wasn't a khutbah, it was a nasiha. So that's a different ikhtilaf, that's an academic ikhtilaf in the kitabs. But I'm bringing this hadith because I want to narrate this hadith, because this is what Nabi alayhi salatu was salam repeated, this ta'lim at the end many, many times. That shows you the importance of it. The hadith has been narrated by Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَبِقَالَ حَدَّثَنَا عَلِي بِنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي يَحْيَى بِنْ سَعِيدٍ قال حدثنا فضيل بن غزوان قال حدثنا إكرمة عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خطب الناس يوم النحر فقال يا أيها الناس أي يوم هذا. Oh people, which day is today? قالوا, they say يوم حرام. This is a very sacred day. Haram means sacred. That's why we call the haram haram, because very sacred. And many things become haram also inside the haram. And why Makkah is called Makkah? Makkah means to destroy. The literal meaning of Makkah means to destroy. Makkah is called Makkah because whoever does sins in Makkah gets destroyed. If a person stays in Makkah and he commits sin inside Makkah, Allah will destroy him. That is why Makkah is called Makkah. When you stay inside the haram, then you have to stay with a lot of caution. You can't commit sins there. Just like how if you do one good deed, then you get so much of sawab. If you do a sin inside the haram, you get so much of punishment, multiplied guna. Understand? Everything is protected. So they told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, yawmun haram. Qala fa ayyu baladin hadha. Which town is this here? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, qalu baladun haramun. This is a very sacred town. Qala fa ayyu shahrin hadha. Which month is this year? قَالُ شَهْرٌ حَرَامٌ. This is a very sacred month. Now he came to his point. After he emphasized all that to show the ahmiyat to the Sahaba, now he's coming to the main point. And he says, فَإِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامٌ. That surely your blood, your wealth, and your respect, and your dignity, it is haram upon you. Sacred. كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا is like the sacredness of this day فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا. Now this one sentence, that your life, your blood, your wealth, and your respect, that is sacred. Now this is a very deep ta'aleem of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us everything. He's not like this, some blanks he left and went. There's no blanks. He gave us all the ta'lim, every ta'lim that we can dream of. He gave it to us. And he said, no, no. Just bear in mind that your blood, your wealth, and your respect is haram, sacred. Allah affords these three things a lot of respect and honor. So nobody can come and interfere with your life, interfere with your wealth, and interfere with you. If you die defending your life, your wealth, مَنْ قُتِلَ دُونَ نَفْسِ وَمَالِهِ The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَوَ شَهِيدٌ If a person has been killed while he is protecting his wealth, he's protecting his life, he becomes a martyr. That's the level of honor Allah gives to a person's wealth. Allah gives to a person's life. If somebody is attacking you, you have all the right to self-defense. You can kill him. Shariat allows it. See, you can't say, okay, no. No, just take it, it's my car. You can have it, I'll get another car. In our Shariat, it doesn't work like that. Our Shariat is that wealth is your wealth. You earned it, it's yours. Nobody has a right to come and capture it from you. Nobody. You can defend it with whatever you have. It's your land. This land belongs to you. Nobody can come and interfere with it. You can capture it. You can defend it with whatever you have. And in the interim period, if more has been written for you, then you get the maqam of shahadat. So that's the amount of respect Allah affords it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then said in the hadith, the hadith says, فَأَعَادَهَا مِرَارًا This sentence, he kept on repeating it over and over. Now why will he do that? Because he wants to embed it into the minds of the Sahara. The importance of it, over and emphasizing it, saying one thing over and over. When will a person say one thing over and over? Because he wants the Sahaba to understand, and the people, Muslimin, to understand how important it is. ثُمَّ رَفَعَ رَاسَهُ Then he raised his head. فَقَالْ اللَّهُمَّ هَلْ بَلَّغْتْ Ya Allah, have I conveyed the message? اللَّهُمَّ هَلْ بَلَّغْتْ So قَالِ إِبْنُ عَبَّاسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا فَوَلَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ إِنَّهَا لَوَصِيَّتُهُ إِلَىٰ أُمَّتِهِ This sentence of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was the wasiyah to his ummah. This was his ta'lim. That this ummah here will defend its honor, it will defend its property, and it will defend its blood. There's no such a thing as taking out the white flag and putting down your arms and surrender. Here there's no such a thing as surrender in this ummah. This ummah, you die, you fight till the last man. In fact, to run away from the battlefield, tawallu yawm al-zahaf, it is considered a gunai kabira. You're not allowed to run away from the battlefield. Not allowed. It's a gunai kabira. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam has taught us this. Defend what is yours. There's no such thing as surrendering, throwing in the white flag. There's no such thing like that. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلْيُبَلِّغْ الشَّاهِدْ الْغَائِبِ And this sentence also, the person who's present must convey this message to everybody who's not here. Your wealth, your life, your property, your dignity, nobody is allowed to interfere with it. That's yours. We afford it respect. Everybody must afford it respect. Whether you are Muslim, a non-Muslim, everybody afforded respect. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this last final sentence, very important. La tarji'u ba'di kuffara. Don't become kafir after I'm gone. After I'm gone, when I'm gone, I've taught you everything. Now don't renegade. Don't backtrack. Don't become murtad. Now I'll give you the tafsir of that sentence just now, the tashri of it. And he said, لَا تَرْجِعُوا بَعْدِ كُفَّارًا يَضْرِبُوا بَعْضُكُمْ رِخَابَ بَعْضٍ That you start killing one another. Muslims turning against Muslims. Muslim fighting against Muslims. To kill, for one Muslim to kill another Muslim is a very grave sin. The Quran Sharif has mentioned, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا That person that kills a mu'min intentionally, فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ He will go into Jahannam خَالِدًا فِيهَا For a very long period of time he'll stay in Jahannam. He won't come out. He'll stay there for a very long duration of time. Forever, the Quran Sharif says. He'll stay in Jannah forever. Right. So killing a Muslim, never do that. Muslims fighting against Muslims, never do that. Sorry, but not allowed. Yeah, you're supposed to fight against the enemies of Allah Ta'ala, not killing one another. That makes no sense. And in the tashri of this hadith, the commentary of this hadith, that you should not become kafir after I'm gone, in Umdatul Qari, they've got there written, Allama Kirmani says that you should not become kafir, means kal kuffar. Don't become like the kafirs. أَوْ لَا يُكَفِّرُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا فَتَسْتَحِقُّ الْقِتَالِ. And don't call one another kafir, then you start making war against one another. Don't classify one another as kafir, then you start making war. وَقَالَ الطِّيبِ أَيْ لَا تَكُنْ أَفْعَالُكُمْ شَبِيهَةً بِأَعْمَالِ الْكُفَّارِ. Your actions should not resemble the actions of the kafirs. فِي دَرْبِ رِقَابِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Like the killing of the believers. If the kafirs are fighting against you, then it's understandable that we're making jihad against them. We can kill them, they kill us. فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ. You kill, they kill. Samajh mein aaya ji? But here you killing one another, one Muslim killing one another, that's not justified. Sharia will never allow it. That's a very big, bad thing. قِيلَ الْمُرَادُ. And also one murad, don't become kafir. Don't make nashukris of the ni'mats of Allah. Whatever ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has given us, make qadr of Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat. Never betray Allah Ta'ala. Never turn one's back against Allah. Never belittle the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. And especially the haqq of Islam, the laws of Islam, the sharia. Give it full respect, afford the sharia the full respect. And this also is important. وَقِيلَ مَا يُقَرِّبُ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ. Those actions that will lead you to kufr. Don't become kafir after I'm gone. Don't do those actions that are going to take you to kufr. وَيُؤَدِّي إِلَيْهِ. Sahibat will make you end up becoming kafir. So this is the tashri of the hadith. So Allah Ta'ala save us from that. We must honor. You see, Alhamdulillah, now we saw in the news that Americans wanted to capture the base in Afghanistan. Bagram or something like that. They call it base. Sahaji, what answer they gave the Taliban to them? We won't give you 1 inch of our land. We won't give you 1 inch. Sahaji, waqari fasiyu din te. Sahaji, but waha unke shah defense minister ya koi hai. To unhone jawaban keh diya, ke hum jo hai ek inch bhi nahi denge aapko. We won't give you 1 inch of our land. This is our land. Haven't you learned the lesson 20 years you were fighting yet? But they ran away with their tails between their legs and a lot of shame, and they left all their weapons, billions of dollars, and they ran away with disgrace. They say that it was the worst zillat they ever faced in the history of their country. You see, now they want it back, the weapons back also, and they want also the land back, that Bagram air base. Now, that was the same air base where they had the people inside there, and they were torturing them inside that air base. They were torturing them there. They had even prison inside the Arabs and torturing them, the Afghanis inside. Who's going to give them back? They're dreaming they're going to get it back. So therefore, Muslim, the answer they gave was sahih jawab tha. That was 100% correct answer. That we will not give you 1 inch of our land. That was based on the ta'lim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, Allahu Akbar. What he has not taught us? What has he not taught us? You know, he leaves us hayran. Hayran. We are left like, you know, we have no words left to thank Nabi alayhi salam for what he has done for us, to be honest with you. There's no need for us to look at the kafirs and say we're short of this or we're short of nothing. He's given us everything. Hazrat Mu'adh Ras rahmatullah alayhi used to give one example. Bahut behtareen misal. Hazrat Pesh Famate, Mu'adh Ras rahmatullah alayhi. He gave a beautiful example. I love it. Hazrat said, see ya, you know, when a child is growing up, the child is like, say, 3-4 years old, right? Child is 3-4 years old, child is growing up. That's the time that parents are enjoying the child, you know? Just learning to talk, learning to walk, uski harakat and all that, you know? The child, so the parents, they love it. Now the father comes in the house, he throws the child up in the air and all that. Now, yeah, bye. Then he puts the child on the edge of the bed and he stands slightly away from the bed. Standing away from the bed. There's a child on the bed. He's standing away from the bed. And the father is telling the child, jump. Father is telling the child, jump. Now there's a gap now between the father and the child. But the child knows that my father is there. My father won't rob me. My father won't rob me. He's my source of security. My father won't let me go. Imagine that child, a small little child. It knows it's in danger, but it still feels confident enough. It senses the security. And the child takes that leap into the air. And then the father doesn't allow the child to fall. He grabs the child, hugs the child, throws the child in the air, catches the child. Am I right? So my Hazrat used to say, Mu'adh Ras, काश कि ये सबक हम बच्चे से सीखते. इफ ओनली वी कुड हैव लर्न दिस लेसन फ्रॉम दैट चाइल्ड दैट वी जंप इन टू द आर्म्स ऑफ रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम. इफ द चाइल्ड कैन बी अ फादर कैन बी सो मच ऑफ सिक्योरिटी फॉर दैट चाइल्ड दैट द फादर विल नॉट ड्रॉप दैट चाइल्ड डाउन. What you think, we jump into the arms of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's going to drop us down? Are we going to fall down? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Say, jump. Take that leap into the arms of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's not going to drop you down. Whatever he has taught you, so make qadr of that. Allahu Akbar. You know, the Sahaba ikram, Allah Ta'ala, you know, they were chosen people for the sohbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amongst the Sahaba, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the, after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, after, now nobody can reach the maqam of a Nabi, but after the Nabi, whose maqam is the highest? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because of his sacrifices also, because of allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the poet has mentioned, isn't it, that parwane ko mom, bulbul ko gulbas, सिद्दीक अकबर को खुदा के रसूल बस. हमारी बात परवाने को मोम, बुलबुल को गुलबस, सिद्दीक अकबर को खुदा के रसूल बस. हमारी बात. नाउ लुक एट द परवाना द मौत. सो द परवाना द मौत, इट नोज देयर इज अ फायर देयर, बट ऑलवेज फ्लाइंग अराउंड द फायर. सम नाउ वी कैन इवन गेट बर्न इनसाइड द फायर, यू इवन स्मेल इट आल्सो. हम जानते थे, हम मुताला करते थे सफर में के जमाने, हियर वी गॉट लाइट्स एंड एवरीथिंग, बट वी वर स्टडिंग बाय, देयर वाज नो इवन लाइट्स प्रॉपरली. After time, there was no lamps. We used to go with lamps to the darasgah, carry lamps, and then we used to start that. We should light the thing inside the class. Sometimes the dars used to be on also. And then there used to be. So we have been through that. South Africa has been through that for a while also. So alhamdulillah, it's calmed down a bit. I don't know for how long, but shukar for now. So that we used to go. So parwanikum bulbul ko gulbas. And also you find the nightingale, it's only going for the nectar of the flower. Just like how no, is always by the flower for the night, for the nectar, the nightingale. So Siddiq Akbar ko khuda ke rasul bas. For Siddiq Akbar, he never needed anybody. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was everything for him. For amongst the men, he was number one. Hazrat Shah Wasula rahmatullah alayhi says, amongst the women, Hazrat Khadija was number one. Hazrat Khadija tul Kubra, she is number one amongst the women. You see, now. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, obviously, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a special affection for her, special love for her. In fact, in his marad-e wafat also, in his last sickness, he wanted to be with her because he felt most comfortable. So he asked if she's her bari or what. He was even asking, he wasn't conscious in that state also, whose turn is it, which wife's turn. So he had to, he even told her, although for him bari wasn't an obligation. For him to give all his wives the same amount of time was not an obligation for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For me, I knew it's an obligation. If you have more than one wife, you have to give them same amount of money, you have to give them same amount of time. And also people who want to take the second wife, there are certain sharait also. You must have the financial ability to be able to run those houses. Some people don't have it and they want to take second wife. It's not jais then. They're not fulfilling the huquq that is required. You see, we're dealing with cases, so we know. Now what is the situation is that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only speaking about Khadija all the time. So Hazrat Aisha says, but you know, Allah has given you a wife even better than her. Even better than her. Allah Ta'ala gave you. Now who she was, now she's not taking her own name, but she's hinting, she's referring, inferring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala gave you a wife that's even better. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what answer he gave? Say, Kalla. Never. There's nobody better than Hazrat Khadija. That was his answer to Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. There's nobody better than Hazrat Khadija. She said, Kalla. Never. Obviously, Hazrat Khadija, the sacrifice that he made, she made for him. The Quran Sharif says, Shah Sahib says, that, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. We found you in need, we made you rich. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an orphan. He had no money, he had nothing. Now imagine Allah gave him Hazrat Khadija, who was a Qurayshi woman. Quraysh. She's from the high level of Qurayshi woman. And she had a lot of money. And she was ready to marry him. So that's a very big thing. At that junction of his life, He needs money. Especially when you're starting something, you need money. You can't start something, there's no money. You need money to start something. So, Hazrat Shah Wasallah says, فَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا أَيْ فَأَغْنَى بِمَالِ خَدِيجَةً. Allah made him rich with the wealth over the money of Khadija. See, Allah Ta'ala took him out from his need by bringing him to such a rich wife, and then she gave him all the wealth. So in that way Allah made him ghani to the wealth of Khadija. So imagine all her sacrifices. So there's no woman that can reach the level of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha in this ummah. There's no woman can reach her level. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that of his love for Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So nevertheless, Shah Wasallah rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we have to, as I mentioned to you, we have to jump into his arms. We have to jump into his arms. Then he brings one poem. It's a nice poem, but he made some kalam on the poem, which I will share with you today also, inshallah. He said, Ab na dhundenge har giz pata mil gaya. Ek alim ne, ek alim ka sher hai. Ab na dhundenge har giz pata mil gaya. Jab nabi mil gaya, to khuda mil gaya. Ab na dhundenge. Now there's no need for us to search when we found the address of Allah Ta'ala. Pata mil gaya. We got the information, the address. So what you want to go search for? You know exactly. All the information has been given to you. Jab nabi mil gaya, to khuda mil gaya. If you got the nabi, you got Allah Ta'ala. So he says, but you must realize something, that this doesn't apply to everyone. Because there were so many people that they were in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they were in his era. In Nure Nubuwat, in that era of full Anwar. But still too, they never became Muslim. And he says, Baz Martaba, there were many Muwahideen. Muwahideen, there were plenty Muwahideen in the world. They believe in one Allah. But where the problem comes, they make nafi of risalat. That's the big problem. The big problem is they make nafi of the risalat. That means they make nafi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam being a messenger of Allah Ta'ala. That's where the big problem comes. Iski wajah se wo, they become kafir. They are muwahid. They believe in tawheed. They believe in the existence of one Allah. But the problem area is they don't believe in the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They may be muwahid, but they are not Muslims. They haven't accepted Islam. They are kafir. They are out of the fold of Islam. You see? And he says, in fact, this point is so important also because, you know, I was reading amongst our ulama that in Britain at the moment, many, many people have become murtad in Britain. I don't want to even give the figure because I don't know if it's exactly correct, but from the reports that we're giving, up to 100,000 people have left the fold of Islam. And out of those 100,000 people, this is to be verified, and said that they are saying that many of them are professionals. Professionals became murtad out of the fold of Islam. Now, the question is, you see, who are you going to blame for that? Some people want to blame the ulama for them becoming murtad. So the ulama giving answer is that no, they are not associating with the right people. You see, they are associating with the kuffar and they're being brainwashed by the kafirs and they're coming closer towards that liberal lifestyle and questioning all the laws of Allah Ta'ala. And after they can't get a plausible answer in their brain, because they're trying to understand everything with their mind, with their own fikr, with their own ra'y and opinion, then eventually when they can't answer things, questions, then na'udhu billah, they become murtad. They don't want to stay within the framework of the Sharia. They find that very difficult. You see? So this is what is happening in Britain. People becoming murtad. So, Mawlana, if you don't make qadr, Allah will make a person mahroom. If a person doesn't make qadr, imagine you're living in a time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people accept Islam and in his hayat they became murtad. In his hayat also. After accepting Islam they became murtad. Died without iman. There were people like that also. Never make qadr. So it doesn't mean that Nabi mil gaya to Khuda mil gaya. Is par Hazrat ne farmaya. Ye koi zaruri nahi hai ki Nabi mil gaya, Khuda mil gaya. Yes, Nabi mil gaya, and if you brought iman in the ta'lim of the Nabi, then it becomes incumbent for you to make ita'at of the Nabi. Your responsibilities increase. Because now you have to fulfill the rights of the Nabi and the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, because now you're a believer, you believe in his ta'lim. Then if you say you're a believer in his ta'lim, then you have to obey him in his ta'lim. You can't do your own thing and say, I believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can you do your own thing and then we claim we believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We have to make ita'at also. We have to obey his commands. That is so important. And he gives one example. He says, even this, in the time of our akabir ulama also, even their own children are not safe from being influenced. Listen to this very carefully. It doesn't mean that our children cannot be influenced. Even ulama's children can be influenced also. There are so many people, they go into the Western countries. They say, we're going to serve deen, ulama. Their niyat is good. We're going to serve deen there. But what ends up happening? That their own children go astray. Their own children. Out of control. Wrong company. Aisa karte. Walana, you know how bad the halat is at the moment. How bad the conditions are on the ground. We received one case in the Darul Ifta. Where a 19-year-old girl is hitting her own mother. Physically. Imagine a girl, a Muslim girl, 19 years old. Hitting her own mother. Can you even, is it plausible? One fellow, he's on drugs, so what he done was, his mother father not giving him money, he took diesel and poured it on his own mother to burn her alive. To burn her alive. Aise waqiat aa rahe hain, samne. So everybody, the society, halat has gone so bad, that it's so bad, there's no words to describe it actually. That's a condition. That's how bad the halat is. So it doesn't mean that the awlad of the ulama also are safe. Nobody's safe. Nobody's safe. Hazrat gives one waqiyah. He says, Hazrat Fazal Ganj, Muradabadi rahmatullahi alayhi, wo asal Muradabad ke nahi the. Wo asal Safipur ke the. Safipur. Wahan ke rehne wale the. Hazrat Fazal Ganj, Muradabadi. Now, Hazrat Fazal Ganj Muradai Rahmatullah Ali, in our silsila of the tasawwuf, of the Naqshbandiya silsila, is very high up there. He's a great. So he originally was living in Delhi. He was in Delhi, and then from Delhi he decided to come back to his watan, to come back to his home. Now, when he came back to his hometown, there were mukhalifin against him, Hasidin, mukhalifin, and all that. Now, unfortunately, his own son was also part of those people that drove him out of the town. They chased him away. His own son, can you imagine? His own son. And then wo chupchap hokar wo chale gaye, wo tashreef le gaye the. Fir uske baad jab tashreef le gaye, Allah ne aisa uruj diya unko ke nazir nahi hai. Allah gave him such taraqqi after that, after he was chased out from there, and that he became on the highest level of wilayat. After that, when he reached the highest maqam, obviously the Ahlullah, at some point the people are going to start clamoring around them. They're like magnet. Allah Ta'ala has created the noor in the heart. You see, so the people coming to them. You see. So he says, now his son started coming. So he says, kambakht yaha se nikal jao. Hazrat farmate, kambakht yaha se. His own son, chase him away. So you also amongst those people that chased me out of this town. Hazrat used to chase his own son away. Say, kambakht yaha se nikal jao. Samajh mein aaya. So therefore, even the ulama's children can be influenced. Must remember that. It is very important. It's a very important point this year. And then after that, he had another wife and children from that other wife. So those children and now this other son, they were brothers, half brothers. So those fellows now started having good relations with that other brother. He made tawbah probably, but Hazrat was very angry with him. Hazrat Fazal Ganj Muradabad. What khafa the unke upar. Shah Rasulullah rahmatullah alayhi ne isko zikr bhi farmaya. Aur ye bhi farma diya, the Ahlullah ajeeb their halat is by Allah Ta'ala. So they never down. You must remember that Allah always create people around them who's going to help them, who's going to have aqidat in them, who's going to make their khidmat, take care of their needs. And he brings this. وَكَذَلِكَ مَنْ أَحَبَّهُ اللَّهُ يُدَبِّرُ لَهُ فِي عِبَادِهِ. See? That Allah Ta'ala for the Ahlullah, their nazar is always on Allah. Their nazar is not on Ghayrullah. Nazar always on Allah Ta'ala. Not on anybody else. Not on makhluk. Never on makhluk. So the Ahlullah is such that Allah Ta'ala always creates people around them that will take care of their needs. Allah ne aisa nizam kar diya. Is it? Because why? Their nazar is not on the tadbir, it's on the mudabbir. Their nazar is on the provider. The Ahlullah's nazar is on the provider. So Allah Ta'ala, they made themselves close to Allah Ta'ala. So that they're dealing themselves from everybody else. So Allah Ta'ala said, you made nazar on me, I'm your kafil now. I'll take care of you. Then Allah Ta'ala inspires the people around to help. This is how the Nizam generally operates. The same thing applied to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. The same thing applies to the Awliya kiram. The same Nizam operates. That's why it's reported that the Ahlullah, they start alone, they don't finish alone. There's always people around them. So that's the Nizam. Allah Ta'ala has done it like that. And he says that because they're keeping their nazar focused on Allah, not on Asbab. They're keeping focused on Musabbibul Asbab. That's why Allah Ta'ala will always be there for them wherever they go. And that is the meaning of tawakkul. Tawakkul means, doesn't mean that we must make tarke asbab. Balke qat'i nazar anil asbab. That you uplift the asbab, but your focus is not on the asbab, your focus is on Allah Ta'ala. You uplift all the asbab, but your focus shouldn't be on that. Your focus should be on Allah Ta'ala. And he gives one waqiyah of one Sufi. He says there was one Sufi fellow, making a lot of ibadat, making Allah, Allah, all those things. So he has some things to eat now. So now he's thinking to himself, hey, if I eat this here, it's going to get finished. Then what am I going to do? It's going to get finished. What will I do? So in the meantime, Allah Ta'ala is telling the farishta, agar wo kha jaye isko, to fir dobara de dena unko. If he finishes eating it, I'll give him some more. And if he finishes that, give him some more. If he finishes that, give him some more. So Hazrat says, this Sufi bichara, he bachaya usko khaya hi nahi, wo mar gaya. Sahib Haji. That this Sufi fellow, he never eat the thing because he was thinking it's going to get finished. Halaki, you should never think it's going to get finished. You are the same Zat-e-Khuda who gave you this now, he get finished, he'll replenish it. He'll always give you more. The same Allah. That is why this is where we get caught. Because we think that now, when we die, what will happen to our children? Who's going to provide for them? By the same Khuda that provided for you, is going to provide for them. Why you want to sell your akhirat now because of your children? You give me for them. But they will work, inshallah, Allah will give them their rosy also. So this is the ta'aleem, have tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala. Keep the nazar focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And always remember that we have to keep on working and making fikr of our own islah, the fikr of the islah of our children also. And especially the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the unity and togetherness and the ta'aleem of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's so important. And the ta'aleem of our Shaykh, Hazrat Mawab Rasa rahmatullahi alayhi, is to say that take a leap into the arms of the Nabi. The Nabi is not going to drop you down. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.